You are listening to 91.5 FM. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and here we are into February. That means there's going to be new growth that is taking place. Things are going to begin to bud and blossom here before long. And if you are looking to get maximum curb appeal from your outdoor living space, I want to suggest Treasure Your Landscape. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program. They love Jesus. They've been a licensed and insured family business for over 20 years. They have a full array of products from putting greens and artificial turf to landscaping, paver installation, lighting features, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They handle everything from the design to the planting to the maintaining. They travel all throughout Brevard County, and they want to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Dan and his team can be reached at 321-749-1432. And if you're more of the hands-on type person, you like to do all of that stuff yourself, they also have Space Coast Nursery, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. It's north of the Barge Canal. Monday through Friday, they are open 8 to 5, Saturday 8 to 1. And the phone number there is 321-452-5565. So I want to take just a moment and say thank you for all of you who listen, and thank you for those who, you know, occasionally make donations and make phone calls and give words of encouragement. And occasionally there are people who show up for service that are listeners of the radio program. And for all of that, we want to just say thank you. February is our missions emphasis month. This coming week, we have a guest speaker. He's going to be filling in for me. He's going to be teaching Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and he's going to do a great job. Dear brother, precious brother, has a heart for ministry, and his family is serving the Lord. They're doing great, and we're going to be off visiting my mother-in-law. And her birthday is coming up, and so we are going to be out celebrating a little bit of a milestone birthday for her. So you would pray that our travels go well. That would be greatly appreciated. So today we're going to pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've been looking at for quite a while now things that God wants to teach us. There are a couple of different things about discipleship. One is that there is information that disciples need to know. There is also the heart and the lifestyle of a disciple. And so we're touching on both of those things. And God wants to teach us things that not only apply to our spiritual life, but also to the way in which we live. So I'm always trying to be sensitive to how God wants me to share from a passage. And I'm going to do something today that, as I was in my office this morning studying and preparing and getting ready, I've all of a sudden, even though the bulk of my research had been done, all of a sudden God dropped something into my heart. And I had to spend some time, you know, putting things in the sequence that God was just dropping into my heart. And as I share this with you, it reminded me of something that I had seen on television. And it had captivated my attention on television many times, but I didn't really think that it was going to apply to this scripture. It was when God, you know, said, hey, let's look at this in the proper sequencing, and you will get a better understanding of what I was trying to get across to Timothy. So let me read for you in verse number 24 and 25. We'll pick up our teaching in verse number 25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So normally I would approach this and just start with in humility correcting those who are in opposition. And I've got, you know, stories that I could tell you about a person who told my wife one time, hey, the reason that I am here at this church is to oppose your husband. Well, I didn't get to Merit Assembly of God on my own. I was literally called. I was literally chosen and appointed to be the pastor. So when this person said that they had viewed their responsibility to be in opposition to me as the pastor, then all of a sudden I realized why things were taking place that were taking place. And that was God was preparing Merit Assembly of God for growth. And I tell you, you know, right now we are one of the smaller churches in Brevard County. There have been lots of seasons. We consider ourselves in our fourth rebuild at Merit Assembly of God, because the season that I was just describing to you was our first setback. There was something going on in a person's life, and I had to step up and address that. And they didn't like that I addressed it, and I was operating under authority from those who were in authority over me. I did exactly everything that I was told to do and the way that I was told to do it. And unfortunately, it led to a setback, which actually led to a step up. It led to a season of growth. I mean, we had already grown some, but it led to a season of growth. But we've, you know, had, you know, dozens and dozens of people. Our largest attendance we ever had on a Sunday morning is 110, the largest we had ever had in attendance was on a Sunday night for our 50th anniversary. We had 168. But for the most part, we had, through the years, we've averaged somewhere between 50 and 70 as far as our maximums, as far as a year average. So there's a constant reshifting of the saints across the country. The people who've come to Merit Assembly of God, a lot of them have been from military assignments, and military assignments tend not to be permanent. There's a lot of people that come here for work, and then they go someplace else to be near family or whatever whenever they retire. And so it's led to a great deal of cycling through, and many times those have involved leadership. So we haven't always been, you know, as small as we are. We started with six. We're not that small. Right now we run anywhere from 30 to 50, depending upon the particular Sunday. But I like to go through things in a very contextual manner so that people understand them. So this morning, God reversed the situation for me. He said, I want you to look at the end of verse number 26 and then work your way back up to verse number 25. And when he said that, I was reminded about a television commercial that I'd seen. It was a very impactful commercial, but it was not something that I couldn't even have told you what the product was. So then when that seed was dropped in my spirit, I said, well, let me go find out what that commercial is. I want to read the text to you. Turns out it's a Honda commercial, and it is a tribute to their technological team and their racing teams, and it's titled Unstoppable Dreams. And it's what's called a reverse text poem. I didn't know that until I looked it up. It says, you won't remember my name. This is the last time you will see me at the top. My doubts will destroy my dreams. And while this is playing, they're showing all of these wrecking race cars and motorcycles and rally cars. It goes on, it says, the more I seem to learn, the more I seem to lose. I want to carry on, but not today. This is the point I give up. It's a very depressing line of thought until all of a sudden on the screen, the scroll begins to reverse itself. This is the point I give up, but not today. I want to carry on. The more I seem to lose, the more I seem to learn. My dreams will destroy my doubts. You will see me at the top. This is the last time that you won't remember my name. So when you read it through the first time, it seems like this is the last failure that I'm going to have. You won't remember me. I'll pass from the scene and I'll just move on with the next thing. But in the middle of the poem, as it reverses, you realize that that failure doesn't have to be final. Instead, it can be fuel that reverses your course and causes you to press on for victory. So bringing that same type of observation to this text, I want you to see the condition of the people's lives that Timothy has been charged to minister to, charged to instruct. And that is that they have been taken captive by him, which would be by Satan, to do his will. There are people right now who are in captivity to do whatever Satan wants them to do, and they don't even realize it. It is not something that they are aware of. Many times they are deceived and deluded, like the Apostle Paul was before he was ever a believer. His name was Saul, and he thought he was pursuing the will of God. And then when Jesus showed up to him on the road to Damascus, he didn't even know who Jesus was. He had to ask him what his name was. And God said, you are fighting me. You are fighting doing what I want you to do. And I've shown up to change that situation. So there are people who are in spiritual bondage who don't even realize that they're in spiritual bondage. And I've told you the story on the radio program before of a dog that we had. And we had to go to work during the day, and we would put the dog outside underneath a shade tree. We put it on a leash. It was a 100-foot leash. And so the dog could get anywhere that it wanted to go, but it was anchored to a tree. And the two times that we tried that, we only tried it twice. And I will say this, that of all of the dogs that I've ever owned, this was a dog that we had got from somebody else, and it had evidently been abused, and probably abused by a male from the way that it reacted to males whenever it saw them. was not even in the top, you know, 90% of the smartest dogs that we ever had. This dog just was not a smart dog. So we put it on this 100-foot leash so that it could have all sorts of freedom and stay safe. But it used that freedom to wrap itself so tight into bondage that it could barely get all four paws on the ground. And it never one time thought about reversing course. There are a lot of people who are in spiritual bondage and they don't know that they are being used as a tool of unrighteousness and a tool of wickedness. And they think that they are free to do whatever they want to, and they don't realize that the leash is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. So Jesus' ministry was to come and set captives free, spiritual captives. And so Paul says to Timothy, the people you are ministering to, and I will throw this, that are in opposition to you, their actual condition that is impacting their position is that they are captives, they're prisoners of the spiritual war that are doing the will of Satan instead of doing the will of God. The second condition, as we move our way back up towards the beginning of verse number 25, is that they are trapped. They are snared of the devil. They're in a trap. A trap is something that when it is triggered, you can't get out. There is something that restricts your mobility. There is something that is causing you to be literally at the mercy of the one who set the trap. And I will tell you this, Satan is not merciful. He's a thief that comes to kill and steal and destroy. So I saw a video of two hunters that were out hunting deer. It was deer season, and they came upon this deer that had got ensnared on some barbed wire. It was a target that they would have been out there looking for, but when they saw the deer was ensnared by the barbed wire, could not get his foot undone from it, they switched from hunters to liberators. And the two of them worked to set that deer free so that it was able to go on and continue its existence. If we saw a person trapped in a car, we would do everything. You know, if they were trapped in the car was in peril, we would do everything in our power to set them free. If a person was in a burning house, we would do everything we could to set them free. We need to be that motivated as believers in Brevard County to, when we see people ensnared in their sins, that it motivates the compassion inside of us that moves us the same way that Jesus was moved with compassion. And so traps are bad. We don't want to develop a mindset in people that when that they don't become like a dog that returns to its own vomit, that they don't return back and fall into the same trap over and over and over again. There needs to be the mercy to set them free and the instruction to prevent them from getting ensnared in any other traps. So they are captive. They're in the devil's snare, and we need to help them to escape. So it says here in verse number 36, the third condition is that their senses are not working properly. Verse number 26 begins, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. So the way that we help liberate people is we restore their sensory capabilities to God's default setting in our life, where we are sound mind, sound emotion, sound spirit, sound bodies, sound financially. There should be soundness in everything about us. So there was something that happened. It's been about a year and a half ago. It literally impacted my hearing, and been to the hearing doctors and all of that. And there's not anything really that they can do. There is something that goes on. I have this ringing in my ears that continually reminds me about that day every single minute of the day. That part of my sensual makeup, my auditory processor, doesn't function the way that it originally did. If you've listened to the radio program for, you know, decades, you may remember that almost 10 years ago, well, it was 10 years ago, that all of a sudden I had a detached retina. And that was a very trying process. And whenever your visual sense is compromised, it really makes you appreciate the senses that you have that are working. Several years ago, there were several people that discovered that the virus that was going around, that it could compromise their sense of smell and their sense of taste. The senses that I'm talking about are physical sensations, and whenever they're compromised, it causes an altered way of living. But our spiritual senses are even more important than that. We should have the fear of the Lord. We should understand the goodness of God. We should understand that we are to function with the spiritual vision that God has for us. And so those are very, very important. If someone cannot see Jesus for who they really are, then we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and refresh their spiritual senses. I never did create a logo for the Refresh radio program. I really wanted that to happen, but we just never got around to it. And some other people have used it, you know, many times since then. It wasn't original. I said, I'd just like to have, you know, like a refresh button on the computer where you could hit it and all of a sudden it would refresh, whether it was the news articles that you were reading online, or you know, if your computer needed an update or whatever, you would just hit the refresh button and it would take care of all of that. So there are people who are living in Brevard County around us, and their spiritual senses are compromised, which leads us back to the first part or the last part of verse number 25, and it says that they may know the truth. If their spiritual senses are compromised, they will not know the truth. Knowing the truth is to know and understand the spiritual and moral awareness of one's sinfulness. It has to deal with the knowledge of God or His truth. It means not knowing the truth, not seeing the truth. It is a condition of spiritual blindness. So I mentioned in my journey of physical sensory challenges that I'd had a detached retina. And I was actually taking care of my wife during the time that that was detached, and I didn't know it. I'd not really ever paid attention to retinal conditions before. My job was to take care of my wife, and so I was taking care of her. And as soon as we got her test taken care of, I said, I think I need to go to the eye doctor. And so she scheduled an appointment for me, went to the eye doctor. She said, we need to get you to an ophthalmologist right away. The next morning, I'm at an ophthalmologist's office. And the ophthalmologist said, you should have come and seen me sooner. It's like, didn't even know I had a problem, much less didn't know who you were. And so if you ever find yourself in a physical situation, don't dilly-dally. And I'm going to talk to the men for just a minute. Men, sometimes we are some of the last ones that want to ask for help. Don't be afraid to do that, especially when it comes to your spiritual condition. All of us need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. It's not a sign of weakness to come to Jesus. It's a sign of wisdom. It's a sign of strength. And so this lady said, you should have come and seen me sooner. She said, do you want to see? And I said, yes, absolutely. And then she said, I'm going to need you to do whatever I tell you to do. If you want to see, do exactly what I tell you to do. If you don't want to see, do whatever you want. That's not exactly the way that you would think that a doctor would tell you, but it shows that they had a mastery of the restoration process. Restoring a knowledge of the truth, restoring your senses, causing you to escape from the trap that you were in. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to do exactly what she's telling me to do. And I did. And there was, you know, the vision there is pretty close to fully restored, not 100%. But more than the ability to see, our ability to know the truth of God and to know the truth of God's word remains of paramount importance. So today, if you find yourself captive to do the will of Satan because you're trapped in a snare, God wants you to come to your senses and know the truth about who He is, about what He can do. He can set you free and restore you to your original capabilities. God wants to set the captives free. You have a great day. We will be back tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program. You have a great day. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.